Amen, amen, amen. Somebody say, church is essential. Come on, say it like you mean to say, church is essential. So we're continuing that theme, but today I want to talk to you about, my sermon title is God is in love. God is in love. Do you remember times maybe in your past and someone that you really, really, really liked, they noticed you? Hello? Come on, somebody. And maybe you went to hold their hand, and instead of going like this, they held it back, and you're like, ah, they're holding my hand. Do you remember how that felt? Do you likewise, or in contrast, do you remember when you liked someone a lot and you found out they didn't like you a lot? Come on, somebody. You went to hold their hand and they slapped it away. I remember one time, you know what, I was a freshman in high school and somebody I liked, and they said, oh yeah, you know what? They said, you know what, you can go to the senior prom with me. Well, I thought, wow, that is so cool. You know what I mean? And then it was getting closer and closer. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Because she's not calling me or telling me when to pick her up or anything. You know what I mean? And I had even bought a new suit for this occasion. You know what I mean? Well, she wasn't calling me because she wasn't going to call me. And I remember just feeling like, I know she said that we were going to go, but this is like weird. So I finally called her, and she was like, oh, no. You know, and it was interesting because she didn't say, I'm not going to the prom. She said, we're not going to the prom, which made me think she was still going to prom. She just wasn't going with me. And I remember feeling so just heartbroken. My oldest sister, Wendy and Mark, they were cool heads, and they said, oh, shine her. You know what I mean? And they took me to Hollywood, and we went to the Chinese theater in Hollywood, and we saw Star Wars. I'm dating myself, but we saw the first Star Wars movie, and you know what? Praise God, I got over her, amen. Because years later came my real princess, amen. Come on. I remember just how I felt, and you felt awful. I remember one time I was at Mesa Bible Chapel. Mesa Bible Chapel was a small little four-square church that I went to when I lived in Newport Beach, and I hung out at that church. I was a church rat. I hung out at that church all the time, and I remember, you know what, I had invited Tamara to that church, and that started to be her church, and I remember there was this hallway, and I remember walking down the hallway, and then there was this opening, and the opening didn't even have a door on it. It was just an opening to the for the fellowship hall and the kitchen. I remember, and I was walking this way, and I remember walking this way, and I went right past that hallway, and in about my fourth step past that hallway, I recognized Tamara was here. She had wore a certain fragrance. And I remember smelling that. I remember thinking, and I remember just stopping. In my tracks, stopping, thinking, oh, Tamara's here, you know what I mean? And I got all excited because Tamara, which was kind of stupid because, like, what was I going to do? You know what I mean? It was a woman's Bible study. It wasn't like I could, you know, hang out, you know, oh, I think I'll just join the women's Bible study today, you know what I mean? But I still remember, you know what, that excitement. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember those feelings. I want you to force yourself to think about how you felt when that happened. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to times that feeling times 1,000. Think about it for a minute. Imagine that heartache times 1,000. Imagine that that joy times a thousand. When you times it times a thousand, I believe you'll just start to understand how God feels towards mankind. When they either accept him or whether they reject him. Why? Here's why. Because, my sermon title, because God is in love. Who's he in love with? He's in love with you. He's in love with you. He's in love with me. But here's what I want you to notice, and here's what I want you to catch today. He not only is crazy in love with you, but he's crazy in love with the people out there. He's crazy, crazy in love. You know what? With all those people in that apartment building over there. He's crazy in love with all those people in that apartment building right there. And whether, listen to me, whether they are in church or they're not in church, he's in love with them. I want to talk to you about this love affair that he has for them. And I want to talk to you about our responsibility in expressing his love towards them. Now, it's interesting to me because if you go back to Genesis, and you look at how God created the heavens and the earth, and if you look at how God, the sequencing in that he's making, you know what, the moon and the stars and the fish and the plants and the fruit trees, and you look at the sequencing, after he's done making what he's made that day, he says, you know what, it's good. It's, looks at it, oh, this is good. And then he makes something the next day and he says, oh, this is good. And then he makes something the next day and he says, oh, this is good. And then he makes something the next day and he says, this is good. But when he comes to the sixth day, do you know what happens the sixth day? The sixth day is the day that he makes man. And at the end of the sixth day, he doesn't say it's good. You know what he says? He says, it is very good. There's a change. And it's not saying that God doesn't love plants and birds and fish and alligators and all this stuff, because he created all of it. But there is a distinct difference between God making all these animals and God making you. Don't listen to the crazy sociologist at the community college who says, you know what, they're all the same. You know what I mean? No, it's craziness. We're not all the same. That is craziness. Biologist. Or anybody else in the universities that are trying to convince you that you are the same as your dog. You're not the same as your dog. Amen? You're not. Pastor, are you saying God doesn't love dogs? No, God loves dogs. He made dogs. But when he made you and I, when he made man, he separates it out and he says, here, listen, well, let's make man in our own image. There's a difference here. Doesn't say that to anything else that he's created, but he says it to mankind. Let me say, God is in love. My first point. God is crazy in love with us. And being separated from us, and being separated is not okay with him. God is crazy in love with us, and being separated from him is not okay with him. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, let me tell you what's happened before that. Before that, what's happened is God has spoken to Adam and Eve and told them that they shouldn't eat of this tree. Want to make this point that it's not like God was cruel. There were hundreds of trees all over the garden in which they could eat. But one tree, he says, this is what I don't want you to eat. Amen? I don't know who this is for. Listen, don't seek to date the wrong person. Amen? You know, they ask, let me tell you, that begs a story right now. So there was a pastor, and he was a new pastor, and he came to this church, and all the people were excited to hear this new pastor. And the first sermon, he told a great sermon. I mean, it's really, really good. And all the elders and everybody were looking at each other thinking, wow, we picked a great pastor. This guy can preach. Then the next week, he said, open up your Bible and open it up to the same places he preached last week. And he preached the same sermon he preached that week before. And they started looking at him. I was like, man, what's wrong with this guy? Does he only know one sermon? The next week, you know what? He gets to the podium, he says, open up your Bible, and says the same place, preach the same sermon he had preached the last 2 weeks. And they started looking at the elders and started nudging each other and said, man, you got to say something. And finally, the one guy said, okay, I'll say something. And he went up to the pastor and he said, hey, pastor, I don't know if you noticed, but you preached the same sermon the last 3 weeks. You got to preach a new sermon. And he looked at him and said, that's fine. He said, as soon as you do what I ask you to do, then I'll preach a new sermon. Okay, where was I? Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you, Tony, for reminding me. You know what? Listen, there are all kinds of people that you can date. So don't date, you know what, the few people that God tells you not to date. Amen. You say, but pastor, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like there's no good guys anymore. You know what I mean? They're all a bunch of whoa. We see that in the Bible too. You know what? One of the people said, man, nobody's serving God but me. God shows them there's all kinds of people serving God besides you. Maybe you need to get out of the honky tonk and you might be able to find some good people. Amen? Come on. Or maybe, I don't know who this is for. Or maybe this is for somebody on the internet. Or maybe you're just anxious. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But God is blessed these two and says, you can eat and you can eat and you can eat and you can eat and you can eat. But here's what I don't want you to eat. And when you do that, there'll be consequences. It's interesting. We live in a day today where even Christians have been talked into a false sense of reality as far as the grace of God is concerned, and we think for some reason that now we can just do whatever. But the Bible doesn't say you can do whatever. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Be holy, for I am holy." That God calls us, and you start reading the New Testament, you're going to find in literally every page, every chapter, every book, this calling to holiness. And God hasn't called you to walk in purity because you can't walk in purity. Come on, man, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. But you know, Pastor, you just can't. You know, it's so hard. Hey, maybe if you'd stop saying it's so hard so many times. Maybe your life follows your words, because that's what the Bible says in James. Maybe you should start, you know what, looking in the mirror and saying, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes today. And I'm going to be able to, you know what, I'm going to walk in victory concerning this area. Or any other area that you're having. You know what? I just get so upset. I'm just, you know, that's how I am. You know, and that's how my grandma was. You know, and we're Italians. That's how we are. You know, whoa, hey, well, stop it. Amen. Because the Bible says the anger of man doesn't, or the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. You're not called to walk that way. Who cares what your crazy grandma did? No, really. Look at your crazy grandma. Look at the life that leads you. Look at the consequences of her anger. No, really. You don't have to follow your grandma. Follow Jesus Christ. He's your example. Amen. And so God says, you know what, this is what you're going to do. This is what you should do. This is what I've called you to do. And this is what you can do. But Adam and Eve, they chose. You know what? They were deceived. They should have heard. Listen to God. Don't be deceived. You know what? Believe the truth in the Word of God. Yeah, but my friends are saying this. I know. And you shouldn't listen to your friends. Amen. Pastor Vegas preached a great sermon on Wednesday talking about where your focus is, that's what you're going to magnify. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Magnify the Lord. Amen. Start to exalt him. Start to say, oh yeah, we got this going on and all this going on and all this and all this and all this. But God goes before me and makes a crooked path straight. What am I doing? I'm magnifying the Lord. I'm meditating on what he says. Amen. So, but they don't do this. They choose to be deceived and they partake of the fruit. And when they do, just like God said, there's this separation.
That's right.
And they feel this separation and they start to hide from God. And that brings me to my point in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? God is in love. Take your feelings and you times a thousand. And I think you'll begin to just start to feel how much God is in love with us. And he's in love with Adam. And he's in love with Eve. And he wants to say, and he says to Adam, Adam, where are you? And he doesn't say, where are you? Because he doesn't know where they are. But he wants to start to connect with them. Because let me tell you what. My first point, I'll say it again. Because God is crazy in love with us. And being separated from us is not okay with him. Notice again. You know what? This is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. But on the sixth day, he says, no, no, no. This is very good. We see this when God is asking, where are you? But we also see this in the New Testament. We see this hunger that God has to be connected with mankind. We see it over and over again. You know what? John chapter 4, have it up here on the screen. Verses 3 through 5. You left Judea and separated again to Galilee. Verse 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. Verse 5. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Of course, this is a story where he's going to talk to the woman at the well. And he's going to talk to the woman at the well, and he says, I must go through Samaria, which is interesting because the Jews would go to the north, and they would avoid Samaria. Samaria was a place where the Samaritans were there, and they hated the Samaritans. And the hatred went both ways. The Samaritans hated the Jews. The Jews thought that they were better than the Samaritans. Listen, to have someone feel like they're better than you because of the color of your skin or their background is absolutely ungodly. And Jesus will have nothing of it. And so he goes to Samaria. Why? Because it's not okay that he's not close to these people. And not only does he love this woman at the well, but he loves you know what, all these other people that the woman, he's going to prophetically speak to this woman and tell her something prophetically. She's going to recognize, oh my goodness, this is the Messiah. She's going to run back into, you know, her village. She's going to tell all these other men about Jesus. You got to come out. And then they're going to come out and they're going to hear it with their own ears. And there's a great statement after in the end of this story. It says that these men said, we believed at first because you said it, but now we believe it because we heard it ourselves. Amen. I'll talk about that in a minute. Somebody say, God is in love. We see his love and his passion in Luke chapter 19, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, calm down, for today I must stay at your house. This is a story of this man who is not very tall. And so many times we're reading it in Mark that God is bringing all these people together. He's healing people. Imagine if there was some cure, you know what, for cancer. How many know that would go like wildfire? How many know how many people would line up, you know what, to get that cure? And that's what was happening. Jesus was healing leprosy. Jesus was healing blindness. Jesus was healing people who couldn't walk. There was literally nothing that Jesus wasn't healing. And that word went out and was going over all over the place. Yes. And so they were bringing sick people from all over. Yes. And how many know, even if you're not sick in your body, many of us are sick in our spirits, are sick in our souls, yes, sick in our hearts. You know what? And so people would come because God was the healer, and they would come to be healed and to seek the wisdom from God, from Jesus Christ himself. And so there are all these people all over, and this small little guy that wants to look and hear Jesus, he can't see him. So he gets this thought in his head, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kind of figure out where he's going, and I'm going to climb up in that tree, and I'm going to see Jesus. If that's what I got to do, I got to climb up in that tree. Then I'm going to climb up in the tree, because here's what I wouldn't want to do. I want to see Jesus myself. Can I tell you this? Listen to me, somebody. Somebody says, I want my life to be changed. Listen, today your life can be changed. God is not looking to keep his blessings from you. He's willing to give his blessings to you. But he's not looking for someone who's casual. You know what? When I was dating Tamara, I wasn't casual about her. You know what I mean? I remember one time I never forget this. I remember one time she was visiting her parents in Chicago and her brothers and sisters in Chicago, and she was gone, and she came, and I was going to pick her up from the airport. And I remember it was for whatever reason, it was a smaller plane, and instead of they had, you know, some of these planes, they'll put the steps out to the plane, and you got to come down the steps. And I remember she came down the steps, and I thought, oh my goodness, if that isn't the most beautiful lady in the whole world, I just remember thinking, oh, that's my girlfriend. Whoa. You times that times about 1,000. And you're going to start to feel how God feels towards you. And so Zacchaeus is watching this. He's making this ascent. Why? Because he wants to figure it out. See, God isn't looking for this casualness. You know what I mean? God's not looking for you to be casual towards him. God's looking for you to be passionate towards him. Here's why. Because he's passionate towards you. You know what? He wants you to want him. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. You think that was original from Cheap Trick? It wasn't. It wasn't. He loves you passionately, and he wants you to be passionate with him. And so when he sees Zacchaeus climbing that tree, he notices. Listen, when you will make a move towards God, he sees it and he appreciates it. And so he sees Zacchaeus, and then he says this Luke 19:5. And when he saw, and then Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Why? Because he'll notice anybody, he'll notice him. He'll be passionate for anybody who's passionate towards him. He'll stop for anyone who'll stop for him. And so he stops and he says, you know what? He looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must stay in your house. It's interesting because a lot of times the translation from Greek or from Hebrew to English is very good. But there are sometimes, particularly with the verbs, we don't catch the everything. So he says, in this passage, he says, you know what? Make haste and come down. Some versions say, come down quickly. But when you look at what it actually means in the Greek, it's interesting because it means to hasten, to urge on, to desire earnestly, to speed it up. Watch this. To urge on by implication, to wait eagerly. The reason I want you to understand it means to wait eagerly because God is saying, watch this. I want you to catch this. God is not saying, okay, you'll get here when you get here. God is passionate about someone's passion for him. So he's like, hurry up. It's not okay that you're up there and I'm down here. I want you to quickly come down. I see your love for me. I see your passion for me. I see your willingness to reach out to me. So quick. I remember times getting off work, you know what, at Lucky's and I was going to go over to where Tamara was. And I remember, you know what, just quickly going upstairs, you know what, and washing my hands. Why? Because I wanted her, when she saw me, to see my hands were clean. And I remember quickly wanting to go to the car. And quickly, you know, not that I would ever speed, hallelujah. But quickly wanting to go to her house. Do you understand? It wasn't a casualness. It was like, yes, I'm off. I get to go to see Tamara. That's how God is. Times it times about 1,000, and you'll start to feel how God feels. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We just read this. Remember in Mark, Mark chapter 5? And remember, no, Mark chapter 3. And remember, there's this guy, and he's got a withered hand. And so he is, we don't know what that means. We don't know if his hand wasn't developed. We don't know if he had sometimes you'll get a pinched nerve, and he just couldn't move it. You know what I mean? We have no idea. But here's what we know. It's the Sabbath. It's Sunday. And you're not supposed to do any work on Sunday. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees are like, they're checking out because they want to see if Jesus is going to heal him. They want to see what Jesus is going to do. And Jesus is, there's not a lot of places that you'll read in the New Testament where Jesus was angry, but this is one of the places you're going to read. The Bible says in Mark, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, he just asked them before he says, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? He's looking at people and saying, hey, guys, here's somebody sick over here, and you know I'm the healer. Don't you think I should heal him? And he's grieved because, you know what they say? Nothing. I believe they said nothing because they don't want to say no because they know how disgusting that is, but they won't say yes. And he recognizes these people's heart is hard. Come on, somebody with me today. Why is he grieved? Why in all the places, you don't see a lot of places where Jesus gets mad, but you see it here. You see him angry. Why is he angry? Here's why. Because God is in love. God's in love with this man. God wants to heal this man. God is going to heal this man. And he's got a bunch of religious people who are going to let some stupid day that's supposed to be honoring God get in the way of them doing something good. He says, isn't it right to do what's good on the Sabbath? How many know, shouldn't we do something good on the Sabbath? Oh, yes. Come on. Amen. Why? Why? What's this about? He just loves this guy. My second point is this. The heart of God is to restore individuals, but then that they can be part of sharing the love of Christ, the character of God. Let me say that again. The heart of God is to restore individuals, but then that they may be part of sharing the love and character of God. Actually, I'll finish it to others. Reread it. Remember, reread it in Mark chapter 5. We just read this. And remember, there's this guy, and he's demon-possessed. Do you remember this? And he's so demon-possessed, and they're having such difficulty with him that they're just like, he's just out of control. He's breaking chains. Yeah. He's living at, you know, in Rose Hills, in the tombs, and they're like freak. This guy is crazy. Yeah. And Jesus cast out the demons from him. Yeah. Do you remember this? Right. And then this guy wants to hang out with Jesus. Jesus has delivered him, and he wants to hang out with him. Watch this. But then in verse chapter 5, verse 19, it says this. Jesus responds to him. He's like, man, I want to go where you go. But listen what he says to this guy. Listen. However, verse 19, chapter 5, verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him and said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. Amen. You don't need to go with me. Here's what I want you to do. I've delivered you, I've set you free, I've healed you, I've made you different. Why? Here's why. Because what I want you to do now is to go to someone else, to your friends. Go home. Go to your friends. Now you're different. You're clean. You're not perfect, but you're healed. You're delivered. You're set free. And I want people to see it. That's our calling. How many raise your hands if God has healed you in some major or minor way in your life? Restored your marriage, healed your body. You're just your life is better because of Jesus. Raise your hand if your life is not marginally, but exceptionally better because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. What is our calling? What are we supposed to be doing? God is in love. It's not a casual thing. And guess what? He's not only in love with you. He's in love with the people over there and the people over there and the people, you know what, that are trying to, you know what, get into Shakey's, but they can't, so they'll sit outside. He's in love with those people. And those people are all around you. And what does God want this guy to do? He wants this guy to do the same thing that he wants you to do. He has given you the ministry. You have been reconciled to God therefore, now you have the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile men to God. Why? Because God is in love. Amen. How many have a friend who introduced you to the spouse that you're married to? Someone introduced you to the spouse. You didn't know them, but you know what? You didn't work with them. You didn't go to church with them. You didn't even know who they were. And then one of your friends said, "Ooh, I'm gonna introduce Becky to you know Fred." How many are in that kind of situation? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, raise your hand real high, okay? Mark, aren't you glad? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Who is the one that introduced you to your wife? Your friend from school. Praise God, we'll buy him a Dodger cap or, you know, go to Tommy's or do something for him. See, that's what God wants. He's, look. I delivered you. Yeah. Now I don't need you to be here. I need you to go and be with these other people and share the love of God with them. Amen. The woman at the well, she had received from God. She recognized, oh my goodness, this is the Messiah. And she ran back to her town and she told all these guys, hey, you got to come. I think I found the Messiah. And they came back and they listened to God. They listened to Jesus and they said, we first believed because you told us, but now we believe because we heard it ourselves. How many know God gets a bum rap? People are saying all kinds of, you know what, including God doesn't exist. And if they do believe God exists, it's so interesting because all these blessings come down from, the Bible says all good things come down from the Father of lights. If you got something good in your life, let me tell you why it is. It's because God brought it down to you. Amen. Jesus said it perfectly. He said, you know what? He said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life and life more abundantly. But the world gets it all messed up. You know what I mean? It's like something goes wrong. They say, oh, look what God, look at this car accident. You know, I got into it. God must have had a plan. No, Satan had a plan. Amen. Amen. Satan is the one, according to Jesus. Do you believe Jesus? Yes. Yeah, but I heard a pastor say one more. Well, stop listening to those goofballs. Jesus said, really? Really? That's why you have to read your Bible every day. Because you have people that, you know, people that are preaching the word, they don't know the word. And you don't know the word, so you don't know when they're wrong. You don't have to be a theologian today, but can you read a chapter with me tomorrow? Can we just read one chapter of the New Testament? Because I tell you what, you'll be surprised how intelligent you start to get. You'll start to see false doctrine from a mile away. Oh, well, you know, sometimes God heal and sometimes God don't. Praise the Lord. And you'll go, oh, that's weird. That's not right. I read in Mark. All I read in Mark is that God heals. This is all I see. You know what I mean? Why? Because you're putting the word of God in and you start to see the character of God. God gets a bum rap. I like what I read in where is it? I like what I read in Jeremiah. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 11. I know you know this verse, but listen to it in correlation with what I'm talking about, God getting a bum rap. Listen what the prophet says. And this is actually God speaking through the prophet. This is God speaking. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Somebody say, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. See, we've been told that God wants to harm us, and God doesn't want to prosper us. Read your Bible. There's pastors who get upset when you say that God wants to bless you. Oh, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, tell Jeremiah that. Come on, somebody shout amen with me. Tell Jeremiah that. You know, who knows? Jeremiah or you? I pick Jeremiah. Amen. I pick God. God says, let me tell you what. I'm tired of people thinking, you know what, and giving me, saying a bunch of junk about me. Let me tell you what I know. I know my plans that I have towards you. Let me tell you what they are. They are not for harm. That's what he says. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's plans for us. See, listen. The heart of God is to restore, number two, the heart of God is to restore individuals, but then that they can be part of sharing the love and character of God. People don't know the character of God. Who's going to tell them about God? The man who was delivered with thousands of demons. That's who was going to, who was he going to tell? He was, what God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and I want you to share people the love of God and my character. Amen. Watch this. Chapter 5, verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him and said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Two things. Tell them what great things God has done for you. What is your job this week? Tell your friends the great thing that God has done for you. Amen. Yes. Amen. Has God done great things for you? When I ask, hands up, oh, good. Don't keep it to yourself. Amen. Go home and tell your friends, number one, the great things that he's done for you. Watch this. And how he has had, watch this, compassion for you. That's what I want you to tell them. Number three, we'll close with this. You are perfect. Pastor, I'm not perfect. No. Let me go on. I know you're not perfect, and neither am I. Amen. You don't have to convince me that you're not perfect. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Good. Okay. How many know you have come to an imperfect church? Amen. How many know, you know what, that Tamara and I are pastors and we're imperfect pastors? How many recognize that? Don't shout, hey, don't say amen too loud on that one. But you know we're imperfect. And we know you're imperfect too. You said, I thought you said I'm perfect. No. Listen, you are perfect. Watch this. You're perfect because you were and are so screwed up. Pastor, I really don't think this is an encouraging message right now. I really don't appreciate it. Okay. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. How many know you were and you are screwed up? How many would raise your hand and say, you were and you are screwed up? Okay. But how many would raise your hand and say, you're less screwed up than you were before? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, can I have a witness here? You know what? You're screwed up, but you're less screwed up than you were before. Hallelujah. And why are you less screwed up than you were before? It's not because you went to Walmart and got a good book on how to be better in a hard situation. You know what I mean? That's not the reason. The reason is because Jesus Christ has come in your life. And you know what he's been? He's been compassionate to you. That's what he says. Go home, tell him what he did, and tell him about my compassion. People need to hear about the love of God. People need to understand God is in love. They need to understand God is in love. He loved me when I didn't even know him.
He loved me when I didn't even care for him. When I was, the Bible says, when I was a sinner, he gave his life for me.
He's done so many good things to me. But one of the things that he was, is he was compassionate to me. That's what he tells them to do. Go home. Tell these other people what I've done for you. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and tell them of my compassion. You're perfect. You're perfect because you were. You are so screwed up. Who better to show and prove the compassion of God, of Christ, than you? Perfect. Do you get it? Do you get it? You're perfect. Why? Because you understand, you've experienced that instead of getting what you deserved, you got what you didn't deserve. You are perfect. You're the perfect one. I said, Pastor, why are you sharing this message? Here's why. Because about 6 weeks ago, God started to share with me my responsibility and my part that I was going to play in changing the DNA of this church. And let me tell you what the DNA of this church. It wasn't that every once in a while we wouldn't say, oh, be a light and invite. It wasn't that we didn't have cards. It wasn't that we didn't say, you should invite your friends. And it wasn't that you weren't not inviting your friends. But God had showed me we had entered into a malaise, a willingness just to come and sit down and say, oh, thank God, look. Man, look how filled the church is today. And look, my friend Joanne is here. Praise the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm thank God that the church is as filled as it is today. And I'm thank God that Joanne is here today. But the malaise is that I'm okay with this week going through my week, stay with me here, and next week coming and seeing the church 10% more full or 10% less. But going back to Joanne and sitting here and just saying the same thing I said last week. Wow, didn't we have a great service? Wasn't it great? Isn't it great that we saw the church as filled as it is? And that whole week, I hadn't invited one person to my church. I hadn't shared my faith with one person. I hadn't connected with one person. I hadn't given a card to one person. And that would happen week after week after week after week after month after year after year. And the Holy Spirit started showing me, you know what? Not in a condemning way, but in a to whom much is given, much is required. What were you given? You were changed by the compassion of Jesus Christ himself. He himself gave his life for you. That he who knew no sin would become sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what God did for us. And he showed me, Pastor, to some extent, that's your fault. But I'll help you. Why am I teaching you this simple sermon? God is in love. Because I want you to understand that you have Zacchaeuses around you. Listen to me. And they're not, listen to me. They're not casual. They are seeking God. And you are right there next to them. God has put you right there next to them in the grocery store. You know what? In the bank, in your school. You know what? At your soccer game. God has put all these people all around you. And all you have to do is have a card and say, you know what? I've got a great church. I don't know if you know God or not, but God has changed my life radically. And I want you to invite you to my church. Oh, we're outside. Why do I conclude that? Because a lot of people this COVID thing has freaked a lot of people out, and it will help when you tell them we are outside. So help them out. Don't make it difficult for them to come to church. Make it easy for them to come to church. So tell them we're outside. Why? Because God is in love. Why does God tell that man who's been delivered not to come? Here's why. Because God not only loves that guy, God loves all his friends. You think God doesn't love your friends as much as he loves you? No, he loves them as much as he loves us. That's why he's pleading with us today. That's why God spoke to me and he said, you need to teach. The DNA needs to change at Hope. Every person, every week. And I don't care if you're not extroverted. I don't care, like someone, you know, told me, you know what? It's harder for me, Pastor, because my life is different in that I'm not around a lot of people. Pastor, what did you say to him? I said, well, be on purpose. Take some cards. Walk down to 7-Eleven and invite somebody every Wednesday to church. Every Sunday to church, every Saturday to church. Come up with a systematic plan. Why? Because you are perfect. How many hearing what God is saying to us today? Amen. Before we dismiss, if you want to accept Jesus Christ in your life, maybe you're watching on the internet, maybe you're here today, maybe a friend has invited you, and you're not sure that you're in the family of God. You feel like, well, I'm not a bad person. Can I tell you what? Your holiness, your righteousness, your good deeds are not going to get you to heaven. Amen. You need Jesus Christ's blood to wash away all your junk. Trust me, you got junk just like all of us have junk. If that's you, I want you to say this prayer with me. Jesus, come in my heart today. Change me. From the inside out. Say this with me. I need Jesus. I accept him as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, amen. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is your spiritual birthday. This is the day you got born again. This is the day that will change your life forever. And I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. If you don't have a pastor, I want to be your pastor. You know what? Come every Sunday and every Wednesday and let me pastor you. Let Tamara and I help you. Let us help you grow you up in the things of God. Okay. For someone else who's been convicted of something today, God has said something to you and you need to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that was for me. That message is for me. I haven't been doing what I need to do. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand all over quickly. I want to pray with you. Father, you see the hands that are up. Father, I pray that every person every week, I pray that we are perfect, the ones to minister the compassion of Jesus Christ, because we have experienced it firsthand. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen, amen.